Welcome to Sound Practice, the business podcast for physicians and healthcare leaders, hosted by Mike Tsakopoulos and produced by the American Association for Physician Leadership.
We have all benefited from someone else's life experience. Certain people have the ability to help you focus better and improve your skills simply by talking you through steps. Encouraging coaches are not only for students and athletes. The right coach later in life can lead to career fulfillment and advancement. Put me in, coach. Next on Sound Practice. My guest today is Lisa Herbert. Dr. Herbert is a board-certified family physician. She is a nationally known speaker and executive leadership coach. It is my pleasure to welcome Lisa Herbert to Sound Practice.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Oh, I'm excited to be speaking to you. Dr. Herbert, let's start. What inspired you to pursue a career in medicine?
So, it's interesting that my first interest in medicine started when I was a young child, so when I was 5 years old. So most of this story has been told to me, although I do remember, some small fractions, I guess, of what happened. But growing up in Brooklyn, New York, I lived with my grandparents. So we lived as an extended family. And I was very close to my grandfather. And my grandfather, unfortunately, passed away at the age of around in his 50s, 50, 55, from a massive heart attack. Again, I have, just small memories of that, but I do remember that years later learning that my grandfather suffered from a lot of what we know today as healthcare, inequities. So it was lack of access to medical care, the environment obviously that he lived in, not having access to healthy foods, all of those things obviously contributed, to his health outcomes. And my mother told me at the time that I told her that I wanted to become a physician because I didn't want that same thing to happen to other little girls, that they would lose, their grandfather. So she's always reminded me of that story and sort of what I said. So it stayed sort of instilled in my mind. And it just so happened that as I was going through school, that I really absolutely loved science. I love science. I loved math. I loved learning about the body. I loved helping people. So I think that seed was planted, from that unfortunate incident, but it continued to inspire me throughout my years, in school of wanting to pursue a career in medicine.
Well, how proud your grandfather would have been. Let's pick up the story a little bit later. You go to medical school and maybe you can describe your career path and your path as a physician leader.
Yeah. So, in medical school, we all are sort of handed or having to deal with the decision of deciding what field we want to go into in medicine. And I think for me, again, just sort of drawing back from that story, from living in the environment that I lived in, but also having mentors along the way, there was a physician who actually lived in my community. He was an African-American male. He was an internal medicine physician, but he cared for the entire family. So he saw myself, my brother, my mom. So he served as a mentor for me in terms of, sort of what it would look like to be sort of this family doctor. So that really resonated with me, and I decided to go into family medicine. I absolutely loved family medicine. It gave me the variety that I wanted. I was able to see the entire family. I was able to do some women's health, do a little bit of dermatology, a little bit of suturing. So it was just wonderful. And I actually had, again, just some great mentors in medical school as well. And then in my residency program, it was really a great environment for me to learn how to really become a family physician and give back to the community. So I went into family medicine. Early on in my career, I was fortunate enough to be offered an opportunity to become a medical director as a young physician. And I didn't know what I was getting into at the time. It sounds good, but I really didn't know what I was getting into at the time. But I learned so much from that role because, you know, as physicians, we don't really learn that in medical school. We don't learn how to really be leaders, right? How to take on that role, what skills we need to really lead a team or to lead an organization for that matter. So it gave me a lot of experience of what it meant to be a leader. I was able to make some changes within that organization. It was a family health agency that offered, you know, care to underserved women in New Jersey at the time. So I was able to come in again and use my experience of being a family doc and just make some really, really great changes and institute some great policies and programs for women in that area. So I did that role for a couple of years and then transitioned into private practice for a good part of my career. There was a doctor who was retiring in my area. You know, we got to know each other and he just said to me one day again, do you want to take over my practice? So I said, well, let me think about that. So I worked for him for a little while, you know, under his tutelage, learned a great deal and just loved, again, that community feel of being the doctor in town. So I took over his practice, you know, and I practiced in that community in New Jersey for about 25 years.
At some point along the way, you began doing some coaching. Is that right? Yeah. How did that happen?
Yeah. So, you know, during my time as being a community physician, I still felt this pull to sort of want to do some leadership work. So, you know, I worked with the local residency program, serving as an associate professor. I worked for a little bit with a hospital as a physician advisor. So I kind of had this broad, I would say, exposure to different areas of medicine, you know, academia, you know, health insurance, even at one point, and then, you know, also being involved with healthcare administration. And at some point in my career, like a lot of my colleagues, you know, experience, unfortunately, I went through burnout. And it was, just one of those things that kind of snuck up on me, or I didn't realize I was going through it at the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, children, as honest as they are, my daughter came to me one day and helped me to recognize that actually that that's what was going on. So a good friend of mine had recommended that I look into getting a coach. Didn't know what that was. You know, we're talking, you know, probably now 20 years ago now, when coaching wasn't as popular as it is now. So she said that, you know, she thought that would be great for me. She worked in finance and she said, we have coaches all the time. Like, why don't you guys have a coach? So I took her up on her suggestion, hired a coach, and it changed my life. I mean, it really was a great investment in myself at the time. So the coach really helped me to realize, I think, that, you know, I had options to help me move from this place of feeling stuck. And also helped me to just develop, I think, what I'm calling now this leadership presence, where I could really go out into the world and look at, you know, how I can make a difference, right, in healthcare. So that experience, I think, in and of itself, just turned the light bulb on. Like, if I got this aha moment and this great experience from this coach, think about all of my friends and colleagues who could benefit as well. So that sort of started me on the path of going, you know, looking into becoming a coach myself and then helping my colleagues along the way.
I want to come back to the coaching because that's a great story. And I think so many people can benefit. Is you did, but it strikes me you've had a number of different roles in your career and that you've really had a front row seat on healthcare. And I'm interested to know what you think some of the top challenges for healthcare systems are today.
Yeah, so I think number one is the workforce. Right. So health systems are definitely struggling with the workforce in a number of ways. I think the first is that, you know, I do believe that we are in a shortage or we are coming close to having a significant shortage of physicians who are, you know, going to be able to continue to make an impact in healthcare. Some of the statistics show that for women physicians, you know, 5 or 6 years out of residency, 40% of them leave or you know, reduce their hours to part-time. When surveyed, there was a report that showed that, you know, 40% of physicians within 2 years are looking to leave their organization. So the numbers are out there. We know that, you know, this exists. There's also been some reports to show that, you know, by 2036, we're going to be facing a shortage of probably around 85, 86,000 physicians. You know, and for primary care, we need at least one primary care physician for every 3,000 or so, you know, patients. So just looking at the numbers in and of itself, I think that the workforce is definitely, or the lack thereof, right, is something that the health systems are struggling with. And I think you can see this in the way that they hire as well, because a lot of health systems are having to rely on using, you know, temporary help or locums or travel nurses, you know, all to fill the gaps, basically, right, of the missing pieces. So definitely the workforce shortage. I think that they're also grappling with keeping the physicians that are there engaged, right? So how do you keep them engaged? A lot of the employee engagement scores are showing that, you know, physicians are really bothered by, you know, autonomy, lack of autonomy, and that sometimes is what causes them to leave. There's also this concept of just communication, just not, you know, they're not being involved in decision making. And then also around the concept of career development, right? So there's really a lot of systems don't have programs in place for physicians who might want to move into, you know, administrative roles. So the workforce is a huge, I think, problem. And then that only just compounds into patient outcomes and then also, you know, the financial fallout as well.
Let's circle back to the, because I'm very interested in your executive leadership coaching. Is there a typical point in a physician's career where receiving coaching is most beneficial?
That's a really good question, because what I've seen and what I think most maybe health systems believe is that that should be reserved for their senior leaders, right? So maybe those physicians who are in a leadership role and have been doing that role for a couple of years and they kind of need that support. But it's really helpful to have, I think, coaching at all levels. So your early, you know, career physicians, your mid-level career, you know, physicians or mid-career physicians, and then your senior physicians as well. So I think coaching can be a part of a physician's career journey from the beginning and also at the very end. I don't think that it should be reserved just for, you know, one particular point in a person's career.
Seems like we can always use a little help to do better, right?
Absolutely.
Are there some specialties more involved in executive leadership coaching than others? And does your coaching style have to be altered by the specialty of the physician you're working with?
Yeah. So, you know, I have coached physicians from all specialties. Mm-hmm. So I think that I don't see one using it more or needing it more. So it's across all specialties. Each specialty, I think, has their own unique challenges, right? So, you know, a coach would be helpful for any particular specialty that a physician is in. And in terms of just, you know, the coaching style, sure, you know, your coaching style would have to adjust for the type of physician that you're coaching, because the challenges of a surgeon are a lot different than the challenges, you know, of a primary care physician. So you definitely would have to understand the personality type, you know, of that particular physician in that specialty, as well as, you know, their work environment, because sometimes the work environment is totally different. So yes, it would be advantageous to be able to adjust and to adapt to that particular type of specialty, which is why I'm really a proponent of physicians coaching physicians, because, you know, we understand all nuances and can understand each physician regardless of their specialty.
As you know, the majority of physicians today work for entities not owned or controlled by physicians. I'm interested in your thoughts on what this means for physician leadership as someone who has owned and controlled her own practice.
Yeah, you know, I think that entities that are not controlled by physicians poses a challenge. you know, and the challenge being that when you have someone who is running a corporation or a business, rather, who really has no background or really has no experience in that particular setting, and you're having to lead a team that does, you're speaking almost two different languages. So it becomes really hard to communicate. You know, both of you may be reaching for that same goal or moving in the direction of wanting that same goal, but you're thinking of it differently. You know, a non-clinician may be thinking about the financial ramifications, you know, and the bottom line and profit and loss, which is important. But then the physician or the clinician is really looking at it from a patient perspective, you know, the journey of the patient outcomes, you know, what is the latest, you know, technology that's going to improve the health, you know, of our patients. So I think that that's a definite challenge. And I think that's where coaching can be helpful in those instances, you know, to help physicians to sometimes understand the language, right, of that corporate environment, but also to help those on the side of the corporate medicine understand the nuances and the challenges of physicians as well.
Let's dig a little deeper into how you coach physicians. I'm interested in some details. Having not been through the process before, how often would you meet with a physician that you're working with? How long's a coaching session? Is there a typical coaching relationship for a finite period, for finite goals, or does it go on? I guess these are kind of nut and bolts questions.
Yeah. So I think it really depends on the goal of the physician. So coaching really is a partnership, right? So you look at it as I'm coming in as a person with obviously the credentials of being a coach and understanding sort of what it takes to help someone build their professional development. But it really is a partnership. So in the beginning, I really want to understand what the goals are of that particular physician. What is it that they're looking for, you know, in our time together? Are there particular skills that they're looking to develop? Are there challenges that they're having? So based on that assessment, then we can put together, you know, in detail sort of what that program would look like or what that engagement will look like. Typically, the engagement is anywhere from 3 to 6 months. Sometimes it's 12 months. 3 to 6 because the minimum is 3. You know, you're going to see change typically in about 3 months working with someone. The greatest probably would be about 6. But so you don't want to have an engagement that's less than 3 months, right? So 3 to 6 months, I think, would be average. We meet biweekly. You know, is also like an average amount of time in terms of frequency. Sometimes it might be 3 times a month, but typically it's biweekly. And the reason for that is because I like to make sure that at the end of our coaching sessions that you're taking away something from that session. And typically it's some action that we put forth that you're going to take that we then follow up with on our next session. So I like to give time for that to actually happen and to unfold. So the sessions are typically biweekly, and they are usually 60 minutes, you know, an hour long, done virtually. Sometimes it'll be in person, but for the most part, you know, it's virtually. For a longer engagement, like a 12-month engagement, that's typically usually a program that I put together with a lot of the organizations or the healthcare organizations. So the reason for the long 12-month engagement, again, is we may make those meetings monthly instead of biweekly. And then there's also typically some other things that are going on behind the scenes in the organization that that is accompanying the coaching that I'm providing.
And I take it by your comments that you work with physicians, is it fair to say nationally, all across the country?
Yes. Yes, all across the country, absolutely.
It's got to be exciting.
It is very exciting. I get to meet so many wonderful people, form some great, you know, connections and relationships. And it's great to see, you know, when a physician is making progress, when they've had some, you know, breakthroughs, and they're doing great things in their organizations.
Shift gears a little bit, because I feel so fortunate to have someone with great experience. And this is something I've been thinking about, that some would argue that COVID started a politicalization of medicine and medical research that we see even today. And some of our fellow Americans have become distrustful of healthcare. Should physician leaders be concerned about this? And if so, what should physician leaders do, or how should they respond?
You know, I do. I absolutely believe that there's been sort of this low level mistrust that's been, you know, just kind of creeping around for a while. I certainly do know that obviously there are certain, you know, groups of individuals that have had mistrust with health systems for a very long time.
Sure.
But however, then here comes along COVID, and it sort of brings, I think, to the surface this mistrust that's sort of been, you know, laying low for a long period of time, because now we're telling people they should get vaccinated and, you know, all of the things that sort of go along with that. So yes, I think that it's causing a huge challenge, you know, in healthcare. I think it's perpetuating even past COVID now. So, you know, where some people are, you know, still just not trusting, you know, their physicians or their healthcare providers, they're having lack of trust in, you know, getting vaccinated. You know, we're having this really horrible flu season right now, which I think is sort of just a rollover from, you know, what happened during COVID, because here we are again. And, you know, we're having to sometimes talk people into, I hate to say that, but, you know, talk people into or try to educate them about the importance, you know, of getting vaccines. And because there is the lack thereof, you know, we're seeing a huge number of cases of the flu with all different variants. And it's just become something that's really been difficult to handle this flu season.
Is our time together comes to an end, I guess I want to ask you kind of a big picture question, because of all of your great experience and work on behalf of the medical community. I'd like you to make the case for the importance of physicians in leadership roles in our country.
Yes. So physicians in leadership roles is crucial, I think, for our health system to continue to be sustainable. We are losing a set of highly, you know, educated, very experienced talent pool that is, you know, unfortunately, leaving medicine, right? Whether that's because of just retirement or aging out, or because of just deciding on their own that you know, they're ready to go. So when we lose that talent, you know, we lose the people who help to make decisions, very important decisions about where our healthcare is going. And it takes a lot of years of experience really to understand the medical nuances of disease process, disease prevention, treatment, all of those things that are, you know, evidence-based and science-based. So physicians being in a leadership role is crucial, because we need them. We need people who have done the work and been in the front lines, who understand what it means to treat patients and what it means to help patients, you know, in terms of their outcomes, to be in roles where they can make decisions. They could be a part of the decision. You know, it's like if you take your car to the mechanic, you want the mechanic making the decision about your car because they have the experience. And I think it's, you know, not to minimize it, but I think it's the same sure. in this sort of situation. You want someone who has been there, done that, have the experience, you know, have the education, to be able to continue to make those decisions and move our healthcare system forward. So physicians in a leadership role are really important. And unfortunately, you know, some physicians shy away from it, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's important for us to really start to educate physicians about what it means to be in a leadership role. Like maybe you take on the title and maybe you don't, but we still need you there to help to make decisions.
Well said. Great, great response. Dr. Herbert, there are probably people listening to this podcast that would like to reach out to you potentially about doing some coaching or some other type of activities. What's the best way for someone to reach you?
Yeah, so you can reach me by visiting my website, which is justtherightbalance.com. I'm also on all social media. So I'm on LinkedIn and also on Facebook as Dr. Lisa Herbert. That's Dr. Lisa Herbert. So connecting with me either of those two ways would be great. On my website, I have a contact form or contact page. So if you want to just leave me a message about maybe connecting in the future, you can do it on that site.
And we'll put your contact information in the show notes to help folks out. My guest has been Dr. Lisa Herbert. Lisa Herbert, thank you so much for being on Sound Practice.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you for the wonderful interview.
My thanks to Lisa Herbert. In coaching fellow physicians, she has become a true physician leader. My thanks also to the American Association for Physician Leadership for making this podcast possible. Please join me next time on Sound Practice. We release a new episode every other Wednesday.
You've been listening to Sound Practice, the business podcast for physicians and healthcare leaders. Check out the show notes for this episode at soundpracticepodcast.com. If you have any suggestions for future episodes, we'd love to hear them. Email us at info@soundpracticepodcast.com. Subscribe to Sound Practice wherever you listen to podcasts so you can automatically receive our episodes. And please rate us and comment on the podcast in iTunes and Google Play. Sound Practice is presented and produced by the team at American Association for Physician Leadership. We are the world's premier organization for all aspects of physician leadership in every sector of healthcare. Learn more at physicianleaders.org. That man Robin, Ritwood Kapow.